Do we have anybody in this house that was a troubled teenager besides me? And anyway, his father was desperate to get William some help. So you got to realize this back in like 1880s. So he calls up, or however you communicated then, to the president of the Moody Bible Institute. And he literally begged them to enroll his son in school. And after they took him, but he had to go, well, he went to school, but he had a lot of restrictions placed upon himself. But he went, and a father's prayer, a college president's commitment, because he met with that boy every single day, and 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. Finally, Newell eventually he graduated. But not only did he graduate, he later came back and taught in the school. And he wrote that song at Calvary as a testimony of his life. Years he spent in vanity and pride. And so it means a lot more when you know the history to some of these songs, and you can really apply them to your own lives. But today we're talking about picking up your cross. In Matthew 16, 24, in the NIV, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.'" Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Now, the word "whoever," it doesn't sound like Jesus was being too picky about who could follow him. Whoever wants to follow me. That's not a very picky word. It's not saying just lawyers and doctors, people with money, people with esteemed character. No, he said whoever, those of you in the ditches, in the gullies, struggling, trying, poor, broke, sick, mean, murderous. You say, "I've never killed anybody." Well, I thought of it, so I think I have. I think that's in there somewhere. If you think of killing somebody, it's just like doing it. So I'm sure I've killed several thousand people. Whoever wants to. I'm so glad he said whoever wants to have a desire to do it. All you got to do is have a desire to follow Jesus. So he'll take anybody who has a desire and a want to. But then it gets really hard. You must deny yourself. That's where I turned him off. Click. Deny yourself. Take up the cross. Follow me. See, I turned him off at deny yourself, so I never got through the end of it. The cross is a piece of wood with a shorter piece that crosses the top where people were once fastened to it to die. It was literally a form of punishment, but it was capital punishment. It was execution. And it was terrible. The cross of Christ, it was bloody. It was heavy. It was the tool that Romans used to execute him. Why in the world do I want to pick that up? I've asked myself that. Why? But then in Matthew 11, 29, 30, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Take up your cross. But yet my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How in the world? I used to wrestle with those things in my mind. Because I saw the cross as bondage. Because that's what you're pinned to. You're nailed to it. I saw it as bondage. I saw it as restrictive. How in the world can I be of any good if my arms are back like this? If I'm toting this, how in the world can it be any good. In Romans 4, 20 through 25, it says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promises. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for Steve's benefit too. Assuring us that God will also count us righteous if we believe in him. The one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins. He was raised to life to make us right with God. But I needed to deny myself and pick up my cross. That was really hard for me. But Jesus died so I could live. He died so I could live. So what I want to do this morning is tell you what I actually found when I picked up my cross. You know, for years I had denied that Jesus could forgive me of my sins. I had denied that Jesus could heal me. I had a mitral valve prolapse. My heart had an irregular beat and a valve that didn't function right. And I was scared pretty bad. And God touched my heart and changed the rhythm in my heart, healed my valve. I have a regular sinus rhythm and my heart beats like it's supposed to be. But for years before that, I denied that God could even do something like that. It's amazing I could deny God, but I couldn't deny myself. So, this is what I found whenever I picked up the cross. There's so much more, but I don't have that much time. I found acceptance when I found the cross of Jesus. All my life, I wanted to fit in. You know, children can be cruel. So can adults. But I remember being in school, if you didn't wear the right kind of clothes, the right kind of shoes, then you were not in with the cool kids. And you wanted to fit in so bad, but you were restricted by what you could afford. So all my life, I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be a part. I wanted to have a place. And I found acceptance at the cross. I found that need was met in me because all of a sudden, the creator of the universe said, hey, I like you. I accept you. You fit in with me. Like this? Exactly like that. I have friends right now that are in bondage to sin because they want to fit in. They want to be a part of something. They need to have a place. And so they just go to where they can fit. And most of the time they wind up in trouble. John 6:37, all those the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, that word whoever again, whoever comes to me, I will never drive them away. I will never drive them away. What a promise. Until I met Jesus, I deserved to be driven away, rejected and hurt. And you know what? I was all of those things. I remember. I could walk around, even whenever I got grown, early adulthood. I could walk around in all the right clothes, drive the right cars. But on the inside, I still didn't fit. I just didn't fit. I could dress it up, but it still was broke. Something wasn't right. Acts 10:34 and 35, it says, then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. Have you ever been around somebody and they got treated a little bit different than you did because they were somebody's favorite? You know, we're all God's favorites. He doesn't show favoritism, but he accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. I'm accepted. I'm accepted at the cross. I'm accepted. I don't have to want to be the cool kid anymore. I am the cool kid. I am the cool kid. You know, I have been bad. Yes, I have. I have sinned. Yes, I have. I used to believe I didn't deserve Jesus. I agree I've sinned. I agree I've been bad. But you know what? I 100% disagree that I don't deserve Jesus. He paid too high of a price. Too high of a price for me. He died. And you know what? You may feel like you don't deserve Jesus, but I know what He does. He deserves you. He paid for you. He paid so you could be accepted. John 3:17 says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, to judge the world, but to save the world through Jesus." Romans 8:1, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." So there is no excuse this morning to not be accepted. There's no excuse for it. There's no excuse for it. Because Jesus don't judge us. He takes you. We used to sing another song in the little church, "Just As I Am." They'd say, "Stevie, come to the piano and play Just As I Am." I would walk up there, my little short, stocky boy self. And I would sit down and I would play Just As I Am every Sunday. Just As I Am, without one plea. Man, you know, God accepts us just like we are. I will tell you this, you do not have to change to find yourself at the cross. You can't. You can't do it. I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried. It can't be done. It cannot be done. So this morning, if you feel unaccepted, like you don't fit in, or that you don't have a place, if you feel like you are not good enough, then I say, pick up your cross. Pick it up. It's time. Pick up your cross. The second thing that I found grace. And grace is unmerited divine assistance. It's divine assistance. Divine supernatural assistance that is given to me so that I can be regenerated, that I can be sanctified, that I can be set apart, that I can be different. Grace is one of God's divine attributes. And whenever I picked up my cross, I found grace, the divine assistance of God. Ephesians 2:4-9 says, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. It is by God's divine assistance that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us in the heavenly realms." Wait a minute. Deny myself and pick up my cross. All of a sudden, that doesn't seem to be so heavy. I've gotten accepted. I have divine assistance. And I'm just now reading that God is seating me in a heavenly place. What about the heavy cross? "But He seated me in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us." God has been kind to me. He has been so good to me. "For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." You can't save yourself. You can't change yourself. 21 ways to change yourself. Man, I've lost weight, gained weight, lost weight, gained weight, lost weight, gained weight. I have everything in my closet from size 28 to size 40. Up and down, up and down, up and down. Wake up in the morning and say, I'm not going to cuss one time today. I'm going to be good all day long. I'm not going to say one bad word all day long. Go home, stump my toe. You know? But I have the supernatural divine assistance of God to help me. I have the power to overcome things that I have never been able to overcome before. Those things that I've struggled with. Young people, if you're struggling in school, you can have the supernatural assistance of God to help you succeed. I have the supernatural assistance of God to be above and not below. To be in the front of the line and not the back of the line. To be able to say yes and not no when asked to help in kids' church. Give me an amen. Amen. I'm asking. There were 30 little ones running wild over there this morning when I went in. I have the supernatural divine assistance to live. Because I'm finding out His yoke is light, His burden is light, and it's free. So let me ask you this. If you feel like you're always being stepped on, that you cannot get ahead in life, that you're stumbling and fumbling your way through life, then I tell you, pick up your cross. Pick it up. I dare you to pick it up. Pick up your cross. The third thing I found was forgiveness. Pardon for my wrongdoings. See, I found acceptance. So I'm able to talk to God. I know He's not judging me. He likes me for who I am. I'm able to walk with Him, talk with Him, be around Him because He actually likes me. And then I've got grace. I've got His divine assistance on me because I've met Him and He just gives me grace. And I notice that grace and I'm feeling it and I'm talking to Him. He knows everything about me, the good and the bad. And He still likes me, still gives me grace. And I'm at a place to where I can say, you know what? I don't want to hurt you anymore. So I found forgiveness. I have a relationship with God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we will confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just. And He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. How in the world can God do that for me? How can He forgive all those things I've done? How? Hebrews 9:22, it says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Now, there's the cross. The bloody, heavy cross. But I want you to know that when I picked up my cross, I'm not carrying a heavy beam. When Jesus died on the cross, He done all the dying that needed to be done. He done it all. To not be able to accept that. It's called asceticism, I think. It's where we punish ourselves for doing wrong, thinking that God will accept us. Have you ever done that? I have. I have sent myself to timeout, thinking that by punishing myself, not doing this, not doing that, not going here or going there, that God would accept me. Let me tell you, that's a false thing, and that'll send you straight to hell. It don't work. You can never save yourself. There's nothing you can do. Nothing you can do to save yourself. He traded that death instrument for my freedom. He traded it for my freedom. I have forgiveness. And because I have forgiveness, as we learned Wednesday night, I now can forgive others. You know you can't give something you don't have. You can't do it. So I tell you this, if you're weighted down by sin or guilt, and this is how you know if you are, if you constantly relive the wrong decisions you have made in your life, if you worry your closet skeletons are going to walk out in your clothes, if that is bothering you, then let me tell you something. You know if it's bothering you because you think about it at night when you're laying in bed trying to go to sleep. Then do this. Pick up your cross. Pick up your cross. Fourth thing I found when I picked up my cross was life. Life, that cross that I thought that was going to bind me up was literally freeing me up. I found that I was free. I was happy. I was beyond happy. I was way beyond happy. I was joy-filled. It didn't matter what I was going through, how hard it was. There was this river of living water that was flowing from deep within my belly, and it was filled with joy. I could be having the hardest time in the world, but I would still be joy-filled. Let me tell you something. I used to walk around with a cloud over my head. I mean a dark cloud over my head. I kept my head hung low. And it was evident. You could see it. Like I said, you could dress it up, but you could still see it. You know what I walk around with now? I walk around with a cloud of witnesses over my head. And they're going, "You can do it, Steve. You got this, buddy. You can go. You can run. You're going to make it. You are accepted. We were accepted too. You got grace. You got divine assistance. You got forgiveness. You've got life flowing through you. Don't you stop. I can hear Cat Grimsley talking to me now. Go, boy. Don't you stop. I can hear John Sherbert talking to me. I can hear Lerone Jackson talking to me. I can hear John Robinson. I can hear my brother, Don Morrell. Don't you stop. Don't you stop. I walk around like a superstar. That's because I am a superstar. You can be a superstar too. You can. God designed it that way. He designed it that way. Listen, John 3:16, we all learned it in Bible class. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not die, but they will live forever. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." John 11:25, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even after dying." We don't die. We live forever. And it's that kind of life that's down within us. You can feel it. You're not going to die. John 5:24, "I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God, who sent me to have eternal life, they will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life." I don't have to worry about dying. I've already gone through that because I found myself at the cross. I tell you, I'm living like never before. I'm living like never before. Now, I used to be a partier, hard partier.
Yes, I did. But now, I'm just the life of the party. I'm not kidding. And I'm not bragging. I'm only bragging on Jesus because I know what I used to be. And I know I couldn't change myself, and he has changed me, transformed me, regenerated me, sanctified me. Everywhere I go, I don't have a problem fitting in. Pull my chair up and sit down with anybody. It's like my brother said. And our grandma, she really did spoil us. You know what she used to tell us whenever we were little? You might as well go ahead and get used to it, boys. People are going to be jealous of you. That's what my grandma used to tell us. She was a prophet. People don't even know me and don't like me. Can I tell you something? The world don't like happy, cheerful, joyful, prosperous people. They don't like it. They don't like it at all. But my brother says, well, they may hate us or they may love us, but one thing they will never do is forget us. And that is the truth. That is the truth. I'm telling you, Jesus makes a difference. Where I used to deny that he could save me, he could forgive me, he could heal me, I now deny myself and I say, you can't save yourself. You can't heal yourself, Steve. You can't even provide for yourself. Because the stuff we've been through in the past 3 years, we should be bankrupt. If I was my provider. But God is my provision. So I have denied myself that I can provide for myself like that. That I can do this for myself. I am learning that denying myself is a pretty good thing to do. It's a great thing to do. It has nothing to do with not enjoying life. I'm not denying myself that the enjoyment of life because I enjoy life more than anybody else, I believe. Pastor Carl always says, you need a camera following you all around. I don't think he knows what he's asking. But I have started doing some amateur filming. You're going to see it soon, I believe. Somebody's going to pick it up and syndicate it. Lori is shooting a rifle, 223, with broke ribs. It's absolutely wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. If you feel like life is so heavy that you're dying, if you feel like you're just surviving and not living, then do me a favor and pick up your cross. Because there is life in that. There is life in it. Now, there's just a couple more things I want to talk about when I picked up my cross. I found my hallelujah. Can everybody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah means you praise, your praise, praise ye. Hallelujah, that's what it means. Yah is short for God, Yahweh. So hallelujah is praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. I found my praise. And I realized that through my praise, it created more life. I found my praise to God. And I was riding down the road the other day and I heard this song. And it just put it all together for me. So let me ask you this. If you feel like you have no praise to offer, if you speak more of your problems than you do your solutions, if you are overwhelmed with a struggle, then can you stand up with me and your feet and pick up your cross? Can you do it? Don't be chill about it.
about
are
now.
Are you alive? And I found it in the cross when I picked it up. If you want to hear that song, you won't hear it on 89.7. You got to listen to 103.3 because it's got a cuss word in the very front of it that we bleeped out. Andy Graham, God can speak to you through anything He needs to speak to you. You will find that in the cross too. Just one more thing as the prayer team comes forward. That I found when I picked up my cross. Prayer team, you can come forward. Chris, you can play the soft music now. Thank you. I found this too. There is more than enough room for you. Romans 10:13 says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I was thinking last night, I was thinking and praying over this message, and I was thinking, you know what? If I got to heaven and you weren't there, it wouldn't be really heaven to me. It wouldn't be. So, you can't have my cross. Because Jesus said, you carry your cross, Steve. You have to have your own experience. You know what? You have to know for yourself that you are accepted. You have to know that you have grace for the day. You have to know that you have forgiveness. And then you can truly live. Because it's not good enough to go by my experience and try to tote my cross. I'll fight you for it. It's mine. I don't ever want to let it go. Now, whenever I sing the old rugged cross, I cherish it. I know what it means. But I'll tell you this, and I guarantee it. I believe God has a money-back guarantee that nobody's ever claimed. Deciding to follow Jesus and pick up your cross and carry it. Some of you have just been dragging it around. It's there. It's kind of evidence there. But you're kind of dragging it. You're not really embraced it. You know? If you embrace it, it'll be the best decision you've ever made in your life. It's not about giving up something. It's about gaining everything. It's about gaining everything. I know this may sound a little southern, but Jesus told me this. He said, "Steve, I hung on the cross so I could hang on to you." And he done the same thing. He hung on the cross so he could hang on to you. There is nothing in this world that's going to make him drop me. He can't drop me. He can never let me go. That's the love of a father. So, today, right now, before you go out those doors, I invite you to pick up your cross up here at the front. Father, we thank you for being so good and so kind to us. We thank you, Lord, that you have accepted us and that you love us, that you care for us. You have been so good to us. So for anyone in this building, Lord, that needs prayer, that needs a connection with you, that needs to pick up their cross, Father, I invite them and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would escort them to the front for prayer. We will bless you today, Father, in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. As you're being dismissed, I would ask you to do this. Quietly leave the sanctuary. And if you want to talk, hang out in the foyer and do that, and that way people can minister up front. Thank you.